In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Delighted that we're joined by Liz Nugent, who has over the last decade become one of Ireland's most popular novelists, indeed internationally popular for her psychological suspense novels. And there is a new one called The Truth About Ruby Cooper. Liz, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So tell us a little bit, what is this latest story about?
Ruby Cooper and her sister are growing up in Boston. And they live in a very close-knit church community. Their father is the pastor of a church that he founded himself, kind of a uniquely American thing. But he's quite liberal, but certainly sets great store on virginity for young people, for men and for women. So he's not like a creepy religious kind of guy. But she grows up in this tight community. Her mother is Irish and is very homesick. So all of that, that's the kind of atmosphere she's growing up in. But when she's 16, Ruby gets involved in an incident with her sister's boyfriend. And
not telling us what the incident is, no spoilers, is there? Okay.
But what happens in that incident changes the course of all of their lives. The whole family. The family splits up. Ruby and her mother move to Ireland, and Erin, the sister, and her father stay in Boston. And everybody who Ruby comes into contact with for decades later, and, you know, years later when she has a daughter, it affects her daughter's life. Everything hinges on what happened during this incident back in 1999.
But with many twists and turns along
many
the way.
Many twists and turns.
In the plot and also in the characters.
Yes.
Okay. When you're plotting this all out, do you plot it out like
no,
as in...
there's no plot.
You don't actually have a sort of a storyboard or anything like that?
It'll
move from A to B to C and you work your way along, no?
No, I have a first line and I go from there.
A first line?
Yeah.
I'm going to read the first line. Okay. For the second time in 6 weeks, I woke up with the wrong husband.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to ask you to explain that, but how important is it? I come from a background in print journalism when you're always told to get the lead right, but you have to hook the attention of the reader in the first sentence. Now, in a newspaper setting, it's very much about the most, factual thing that there is about the story that you're relating. How much time do you spend on actually just getting the first line so as to try and just hook the reader in?
It's the first thing I do because it's the most important part of the book for me, because that line sets up who the character is. So that line that you just read out it raises several questions. Is she married herself? Is this the same husband, the wrong husband? Or has she slept with two different wrong husbands? Is she a promiscuous person? Is she on drugs? Like, what's going on with her? Is she a sex addict? You know, what's going on? So, you know, I go from there. So I decided, okay, she's an alcoholic. And then I thought, okay, why is she an alcoholic? And I said, maybe there's something in her past. And then when I went back and realised what was in her past, I decided I couldn't actually start the book at that point. So although it's the first line of the preface, and that event doesn't happen until 2025, but the story actually starts in 1999.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go back, you change the plot as you go along. When you set out to write this character, Ruby Cooper, Did you set out to like her, or did you want to try to...
I liked her a lot in the beginning until she did the thing she did, which we can't discuss because it's a spoiler. But I liked her a lot. I thought she... I felt so sorry for her because she was always comparing herself to her sister. Her older sister is more beautiful, smarter, kinder, sweeter, funnier. You know, she's got everything that Ruby wants. And Ruby isn't... Ruby's immature in her thinking and immature, in physically immature as well. So she hasn't got the curves that Erin has, and she's desperately jealous. And she hasn't got the devoted boyfriend that Erin has. And she... So... She's sort of in this battle with her sister Erin that Erin doesn't know that she's in.
So you've described this character there, a shorthand version of this character. But again, do you have that in mind when you're sitting down to write the book, or does that character evolve as you're writing the story?
Evolves as I'm writing the story. See, originally when I started the book, I was starting it from the 2025. The current situation where she's woken up in the wrong bed. And then when I realised what the story was going to be, I realised I'd have to go back and write the story in chronological order, because there was too difficult. There's several reveals that happen throughout the book. I wouldn't call them twists, but things become apparent during the course of the writing of the book that made it too difficult to do two different timelines. So I had to do it chronologically.
You also there talk about alcohol and alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's part of the character, it's part of the story. But how much responsibility do you feel to actually get that correct, given that so many people have lived with their own alcoholism, mm-hmm. or the consequences of people that they love being alcoholic, to describe it accurately and truthfully rather than in a clichéd way?
Well, like a very close friend of mine had a spell in the Rutland Centre in 2020, 2021. And I went in to visit her, and she told me everything that happened there and the kind of things that were all part of recovery. And I kind of felt I understood it, you know, and I saw how hard she worked to stay sober and the amount of energy it takes. And now, you know, she's 5 years sober, and I couldn't be prouder of her. It's just fantastic how much she's turned her life around, you know. So I felt she certainly gave me some pointers. And my own dad was an alcoholic. But he was sober for the last 40 years of his life. So I'm very familiar with AA and, you know, the rules and the steps and how that works, because my dad would have been very open with me about that.
In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county.
Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is, we don't talk nearly enough.
Lions, puts the talk into tea.
Craving the coffee flavour you love, but without the caffeine? Cachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavour. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Cachava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Cachava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to cachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
But I think you've also been open yourself in saying that his issue didn't end when he actually managed to stop drinking.
Yeah.
That because often alcoholism is almost a symptom of something else.
Yeah, I think when when he got sober, everybody thought, oh, great, he'll be back to normal. You know, he'll be okay. But it turned out that he suffered badly from depression most of his life. And alcohol was just covering up the depression. So, yeah, he never, I'd say for the last 15, 20 years of his life, he came to some reckoning, you know, that he puts it down to the Virgin Mary. I'm not so sure about that, but maybe it was for him. It was that he would get down on his knees and say the rosary every night until he could no longer physically do that. But he had such faith, and he believed that that was what saved him. But he was also on, you know, however milligrams of Ceroxat. You know, he was taking medication, and I think they possibly finally got the balance right, because sometimes with medication, it takes a long time for the balance to be right. And Ceroxat is a drug that actually doesn't suit everybody. But for him, it really worked. And he was really stable then for the last 20 years of his life. Although he could no longer do the crossword in the Irish Times, you know, the difficult one.
Yeah.
I always called it the crosshair,
isn't it?
Yeah. But it's called something else now. I haven't done the crossword in years. I should go back to that. But he wasn't able to do the crossword anymore. And he was a beautiful writer himself. And, you know, after he died, I found his diaries, his journals, because part of getting sober is journaling and journaling your feelings. And the writing in it, that the writing he wrote then was really beautiful. Like, he was a beautiful writer, and he wrote tremendous letters and, you know, but then I suppose the effect of that medication kind of slowed that down. Now, I think, like, I'm very conscious of people who are taking medication now, and I would say keep taking whatever medication you're prescribed, because not all medication slows you down. And, you know, if you have mental health issues and your doctor has prescribed medication, they generally know what they're doing. So please don't stop taking it just because of an experience my father had with a drug from a long, long time ago. I don't think Ceroxat is actually prescribed that much anymore.
Given your father's experiences with alcohol, mm-hmm. how did that inform your own relationship with alcohol?
Well, I gave up drinking last July. I gave up, like, I used to be kind of the last person at the party. I used to be, you know, a bit of a tearaway. I worked in theatre for a long time. So that was kind of a late night kind of show busy thing.
And everyone went for drinks afterwards rather than going home.
Yeah. And of course, you'd end up in the late night places because you'd come off stage, or I wouldn't be on the stage. I was a stage manager, but we wouldn't finish working until, you know, 11 o'clock. So you were looking for late night places and invariably awful nightclubs. I always hated nightclubs, but I ended up in them anyway because this is the only place to go. But, last year I just kind of thought, no, this is.
But you'd scaled back over the years, hadn't you?
Scaled back, yeah. 5 years ago, it's been 5 years since I've been drunk, I'd say. And certainly I would only have had one or two drinks at a time since then. And then last year I just gave it up completely.
And how do you feel now about it?
Much better. Like, my days are my own. You know, I'm healthier. I'm like, my moods are more even. And as well, I'm able to enjoy nights out with my friends. I'm much more inclined to go for a lunch now than to go for a dinner with people. And holidays are so much cheaper. Oh, my God. Half the price of a holiday. Because you're not boozing and you don't have to get a taxi home. You're not eating all the rubbish you'd eat the next day for, you know, hangover food. You know, it's so much cheaper.
Is it helping your writing? Is it helping your writing?
I think so. I think it must be because I'm more productive. You know, I'm you know, because beforehand I would have had to schedule my drinking. You know, if I knew I was having a big night out, the book awards, for example, where they're always the book industry's Christmas party, they happen in November. So, you know, you'd have to make sure you had nothing on the next day or the day after, because that would be a hell-raising night, you know, where every writer in town is there and most of us would get smashed. But yeah, that came to a halt.
I suspect you're going to be there in November again. Because
no, don't say that. Don't jinx me. Don't jinx me.
I'm not. If you say it, it might jinx it. I'm just saying I suspect you will be there because that you will be very much in contention again. Just to finish off, though, you mean you've done how many novels now at this stage?
This is number 6.
Okay.
My 6th number one.
And you're not running out of characters to develop or stories to tell or twists to invent?
Every time I finish a book, I think, okay, that's it. I've used up all the stories I have in my head. I've used up every, I can't possibly think of another idea. And Marion Keyes, I was talking to Marion Keyes, who sort of befriended me after my first one was published. And she was so kind with advice and generosity. And she said, you know, when you finish a book, you have this kind of empty feeling. That's exactly what happened when I finished Unraveling Oliver and every subsequent book. I had this feeling of emptiness, that I've nothing left to say, that like everything is out on the page. But you just have to wait for the well to refill, you know, and gradually over the course of a couple of months it does. So now in my head, I haven't written any of it down, but in my head I have certainly probably the first third of the next novel is...
Well, we look forward to talking to you when that comes out. But for the moment, we will enjoy The Truth About Ruby Cooper, new novel from Liz Nugent. Liz, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks a million.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Kachava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor, crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's KACHAVA.com, code FITNESS.